Hello, my friends, Andy and Hedy, coming to you live from Orange County, California, at a very unusual time, 1:40 p.m. on a Monday. How are you, my love?
I am good. Feeling my sniffles.
Yes. Yeah. A little lingering cold. Yeah, I got a little still, a little bit.
Yeah.
I might take a nappy after this podcast. I may be exhausted after this podcast. thank you for being here today, considering we took yesterday off for our 1 year anniversary.
Yes.
How cool is that, that we've been together that long? An amazing year.
Oh, we're babies compared to most of our friends.
What's so funny is that people ask us, you know, the restaurants we went to yesterday or even at church, they go, oh, you've been married a year. How long you guys known each other? A year and a couple months.
Well, I mean, and also they ask how long we've been married because they assume it could be years, five years, 10 years, 15 years.
Yes.
Most people in that church have not been married only a year.
No, we've been married for a very long time. But here we are. We're live and we're with you and appreciate you allowing us to take that day off yesterday for a very good reason. We did go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. I'm sure we'll have some stuff to talk about from that message from the great pastor, Jack Hibbs, who has the same birthday as our anniversary.
Yeah.
Now, that may not seem like that big of a deal, but it is, because if it were not for that church, if it were not that Jack Hibbs and a number of people started the church out of a Bible study some years ago, and the fact that you and I were both drawn to his church, we never would have met.
Right.
And then we ended up getting married. We did not know what Jack's birthday was.
Nope.
It's not like we did it on purpose. It would have been very weird if that would have been. But it was interesting that everybody's saying happy birthday. And as he's singing, wait a minute, his birthday is the same as our anniversary.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Neat.
A man who his mom tried to abort. Not because she's a mean, horrible person. It was her husband and his father at the time that suggested that as he leaves and goes to Alaska to a job, that when he returned, he didn't want to have another son.
Yeah.
And
he didn't care what sex it was. He's like, I don't want a third child in this house.
Yeah. And it failed. And here we have Pastor Jack. So you just think of all of those things. Again, we can go back to whatever devotional was a couple days ago, that you just think about all these random things and they look like they're just so not connected, when in fact it's all connected.
Part of the same story. So amazing.
So good. All right, let's get to the devotional. And it's called for January 17th, and it's called Say Amen to Jesus. The reference is Acts 12:11, and it says, Peter said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. The scripture reading is Acts 12:1-17. Smith says, there is a lot in an amen. I find that you can have zeal without faith. The scripture reading shows the difference between amen of faith and having zeal without faith. When Peter was imprisoned by Herod, the church was in constant prayer for his release. They were even praying all night. They had zeal, but they did not have faith. Although there is much that could be commended to us from this passage, one thing is missing: faith. Young Rhoda and more had more faith than all the rest of them. When the knock came at the door, she ran to answer it. The moment she heard Peter's voice, she was so excited to share the good news that she didn't even unlock the gate so that Peter could come in. She ran without joy. Oh, sorry, she ran with joy. Completely different. She ran with joy to tell those praying that Peter stood at the gate. All the people said, "You are mad. It isn't so." She insisted that she had seen Peter, but the people had no faith at all. They said, "Perhaps God has sent an angel." But Rhoda said, "It is Peter." And Peter continued knocking. They went and found him at the door. They had zeal, but no faith. God wants to bring us to the place where we will take hold of him in a living way. We need to rest and always trust the plan of God. There was such a difference between Zacharias and Mary. Zacharias definitely wanted a son, but even when the angel came and told him that he would be a father, he was full of unbelief. The angel said, "You will be mute and not able to speak because you did not believe." But when the angel came to Mary, she said, Let it be to me according to your word. This was the beginning of the amen. God wants us to have an inward amen, a mighty moving amen. This amen says it is because God has spoken. Thought for today. Believe that there can be a real amen in your life.
Yes.
But I hope you don't mind. Could you read the scripture, because the devotional is tied so much into this particular part of scripture?
Absolutely.
And if I was watching, I would know what it was even talking about in the devotional without reading this.
Sure. So,
and Acts 12:1.
Now about that time that Herod, the king, stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, a brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping in the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie your sandals," and so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." He went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he says, "Now I know for certain that the Lord had sent an angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered and praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came and answered. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but instead ran to announce that Peter was stood before them at the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place.
You know, it's funny, there's that saying that they have in here. They said, "You are beside yourself." My mom used to say that all the time when she was upset at me. So I'm just beside myself.
Right.
Another biblical thing that,
isn't that
I had no idea it was from the Bible. I'm just beside myself. I can't understand why. You don't remember. And we'd go on and on.
Right.
And she'd be beside herself. And I would look and I'd go, "What are you talking about?"
Right.
Now I understand. So what comes to you in this devotional and that particular, what's the other than the, it's an amazing story. What else is there to you that speaks to you as a Christian? That's the problem. That's why I went to you first. Because I don't know that I've ever heard the story. I mean, I get so distracted by things like beside myself and Rhoda. I think about the television show that was called Rhoda.
Oh.
It was one of my favorite TV shows. But I do see it as an amazing, I mean, there's a couple miracles there, right?
Absolutely.
You have the cuffs falling off of him. You have the gate just opening and he walks right past the guards and they like, it's almost like they made him invisible.
Yeah.
He thought he was having a dream or having a vision. And then he gets all the way to the gate and people are saying that, no, that's impossible. He's in prison. He's in chains. I mean, all the things that you think about. And again, just another sign that in what the devotional says and what the scripture says is that there's a huge difference of going through the motions as a Christian and being religious as opposed to believing and have faith. Mm-hmm. It's two completely different worlds. Mm-hmm. And I have lived both those worlds. I never knew about this world that I'm living in right now. I thought it was it. I thought all I need to do is go to church.
Right.
And volunteer and be in the children's ministry, which I was, and have to put up those little kids that are named Angel that's not an angel. Right. To the men's groups and all the other kinds of stuff that I've talked about. And I thought that's what it's all about. And that changes nothing really I mean, if anything, very little in your life. It is when you believe and when you say amen that you are saying amen with belief. Mm-hmm. Two entirely different ways of thinking and two different types of faith.
And I think it's cool that Smith gives an example from within the Bible where these disciples were praying all night for Peter to be released, but yet it was very hard for him to believe it actually worked. So why were you praying so hard? Almost like we get sometimes to the point where our habits in faith are ritualistic. We don't really understand and process what we're asking for and what we need to believe by faith is happening. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't even believe he was at the door, even though that's what they were praying for, that he'd be released. So I think it's really neat that Smith says that, you know, your amen has to be that ask and you shall receive, open in the, you know, knock and the door shall be open to you. Seek and you shall find. That those are the Lord's promises to us and that we do not have because we do not ask.
So interesting, because right when you said what you just said, it reminded me of church, the Friends Church, when Chris had the door on the stage and the opening, like knock and the opening of the door. It was just, that was a great illustration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of faith. Oh, that's so good. Just hit me. Anything else that you get that kind of, you know, speaks to anything else that you can compare it to? Or it's just one of those stories that I know that I was able to bring some stuff out of it, but it's almost so simple that it's hard to come up with anything to make it any better. Well, not that we try to do that, but I mean, just having an example of.
I think it's also an important story for us to realize that, and similar to what we talked about after Friends Church with Rahab, was that God can take a terrible situation and bring goodness out of it. He did this even with Peter, where he was able to show the disciples a great miracle, even though he was destined, everybody else thought there was no hope that he was going to die that night or that he'd never be released. But yet God was able to intervene in a miraculous way. So we have to believe that God can intervene in our lives in a miraculous way. He may not necessarily do it every single time, because he doesn't do it in the way we expect.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's not hearing. It doesn't mean he's not answering. You just, the answer just doesn't look like how we expect or want it to look all the time.
Right. It's interesting that this is all coming now between Saturday night and even yesterday's message with Jack, is that I had this, one of these comments from one of the guys that, that follow me who despises everything that I write.
Oh, okay.
And then another guy jumped in who I know, who I trained him and his dog, some years ago, 10, 15 years ago. So he knows me fairly well, knows my history, knew, you know, who I was back then. I've talked about that often, you know, the people that know me from a different time in my life. And now his, that guy, the second guy, his thoughts are that I was I'm a divorced man with a child and all this kind of stuff.
A child?
Well, at the time it was only one child. When I knew him, I only had one. I don't think he was around when I had the others. He might have been, but I'm pretty sure it's that far back, but I could be wrong. But either way, it's that thought when you're attacked by people like that, which I'm sure you may or may not be attacked by people who knew you from before,
sure,
that are saying that they attack you from who you were, about who you are now. And they think that they're gaining something like that.
Right.
And they think that they are getting a hand up, or that they are.
Because they have inside information.
Yeah. That they could have belittled you some way. And it always makes me smile. And I just laugh. I said, I don't think you understand.
I know I was crappy.
I've talked about it. I've written about it in a book. I guess it's like, I kind of giggle. And I think in some of the people that also follow maybe that same stream, waiting to see, you know, what's the response going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting in this response, and I think even in the subsequent responses prior to another ones that subsequent, the earlier response that I had, so much of the time, and having this faith, and I, this is going somewhere, I promise, is that having the faith that I have now, having understanding that the Holy Spirit dwells inside me and all this kind of stuff, there's stuff that I respond to now in such a different way.
Oh, for sure. I am sure you do.
And it's biblical. I mean, some of it is just, I have some biblical references in there, and I go, you know what? I love you guys. I love that you're on, and I love that you are following me so closely. And that somehow, some way, God will speak to you through being a follower of mine and a follower of my posts, because they're so hate filled and so like
venomous. Is somebody that was even a friend?
Yes.
That's so unfortunate.
But I just go, you know what? I'm thinking that this will possibly change you in some way. Mm. And I brought up what's her name? Harlot?
Rahab.
Rahab. I talked about Rahab. I talked about Saul becoming Paul. I talked about the disciples are all men that
flawed.
The flawed men that, you know, God used the least of, at least men. I don't know how you say that, but or how I even wrote it. I could not even recite it now. It's just the Holy Spirit wrote it. And I said, This is what makes it so great. You're following me.
Aww.
And that you may see it someday. I know right now you're looking at something as hypocrisy when in fact it is, wow, I wish I could remember my words because they were so much better when I wrote them. Redemption. What you're calling hypocrisy of me is redemption.
Yes.
You're looking at how I was. You're not understanding the fact that I've been redeemed by God.
Right.
But it's so great having that blessing of truly being being where I am now in my faith, and that I understand what this whole devotional means.
Aww.
That's what makes it so so difficult to comment on it, because they go, wow, that's all I want to do is say yes.
Amen.
Sorry. Let's see who's commenting here. I see a comment. Wow, our mouse is really weird. Rosemary, nice to see you. I'm not that person anymore. Be here. Wow. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Let's read the scripture, unless you had a comment on all that I just mumbled out.
No.
Luke 1:20.
But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So this was Luke. This was God's punishment, because John the Baptist's father, Joseph, didn't believe that that he could have a baby.
Right.
And so I think he added this passage of scripture, Smith did, so that we could realize that God sometimes leaves us in our disbelief and inability to believe that God could do the miraculous. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll twist your ear too. I think that's what this represents.
So yesterday at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, I'm not even with the message. What was amazing is, again, how God has put me in such a different place, where we were there in the front row. We sat down, you were having a conversation with somebody that we were sitting next to. I must have had 5 or 6 conversations with people around the front row, shaking hands and just having I've just filled the comfort, mm-hmm, that God has given me, where I would not normally feel the comfort in that place, and sharing either my testimony, and I often share your testimony, and listening to others share their testimony, or people asking for prayer. We're in a different place than we were before.
We
both of us, just where we're in our faith.
Well, I was a Muslim before, so
yeah,
I'm clearly a different place.
But I look at myself and go, "Who are you? Who is this guy?
The new man? I am who he says I am."
And then the men, the three men that we met the day before, the friends, you know, I just see God working, and he is amazing and miraculous. Anything about yesterday's message that you? You know, one thing I keep remembering about is him using the Bible speaking with the word. He's a goofball sometimes.
That was so cute.
I wonder if he did that on all four messages.
It looked like a Muppet.
Yeah. He was illustrating that the Bible was something alive and the words
could talk.
It could talk. But that was one of them. Anything in particular that's coming to you?
Not right this second. So
the mic is blocking your face recognition.
Oh,
that's why it's not.
I was trying to look it up.
That's why it's not coming up. Because there was so much content and so much stuff. I can't even recall the most incredible parts of it. But I know there were so many times that when he was speaking, I went, oh, man, that is really good. The story that he told, that I think he's told probably more than a few times, is about him, you know, when he was talking about abortion at the very beginning of the message, that his mother had attempted to abort him.
Right.
And then miraculously, he was born. That's such an incredible story. And then I always wonder about what his relationship with his father was like. And the one time we were with him when you're recording your podcast, I go, oh man, I wish I would have thought of asking him about it then, because I would love to hear what their relationship, and I don't know if his father's passed, probably, I'm guessing.
Now he's passed, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wondering what that relationship ended up being like once he knew that he wanted him aborted.
Oh, that in between stage I told you, I don't know, but they were close before his father passed and he brought him to Christ. Hmm. I know he's told us that story, but the in-between phase, I don't know. But he says his father was always very hard on him. And he lived in a Marine household, the way he described it. It was difficult. So we were going through a moment of silence. He had titled it A Moment of Silence, right? Romans 3, 19 and 20.
Thank you.
And so it was, I actually really liked his explanation of why the whole notion of a moment of silence is weird, mm-hmm. and that people don't know what to do. And it's like this awkward time to try to be ecumenical, is that you can't actually pray, which is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
So I totally agree with that.
That was so good, because I've always felt uncomfortable at a moment of silence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's a moment of silence is from people that aren't, they're either religious and they don't want to offend people by saying, let's pray.
Right.
Or it's people that don't believe. And they feel like they got to do something, but don't know what else to do. So they say, let's have a moment of silence.
Right.
It's like, why bother?
Right. So, and then the rest of it is about not following. So the scripture that we're dealing with in 1920 is the basic, it basically is Paul's explaining how when you're under the law, that is, so before you accept Christ, you are damned to an eternity in hellfire and basically will never be righteous in the eyes of God, because God exacts the price of sin. And coming face to face with the Lord, everybody loses. And he says, that's why we have to understand that the forgiveness and redemption we have in Christ is such an important gift, because without it, we'd all be doomed. And it is, and we're doomed because we think that tradition would save us, religious practices would save us, good deeds would save us, morality would save us, and none of those things could save us, because God will require a penalty for every single wrongdoing. Yeah. And it made me, I told you, it reminded me of like being a Muslim, where you are terrified constantly. If you are faithful, if you believe you're sincere, then you've got to be frightened constantly for this God that's going to face, is going to face you with everything you did wrong. Without a promise of salvation, that should be a scary thought to anybody. The fact that you have to pay the price for your sins. If you think you have not sinned enough to worry about where it sends you, you're deluded. Mm-hmm. You're just delusional. Because that means you think that God only cares if you kill someone. God cares way more than just if you killed someone. Every bad thought, every evil thought, every lustful desire, every indiscretion, thievery, you know, the small thing you stole as a child in the store, stealing pens and papers from work,
lustful thoughts against your spouse. I mean, like, there's a countless number of things that we do every day as human beings. And I'm not talking about being an expert or some kind of weird villain, just as regular people, that without the free gift of salvation, we'd be damned.
Wow.
So that's
that picture he painted of being forehead to forehead, nose to nose with God. Just like, oh,
who wants to do that?
Made my heart kind of pound a little bit.
Right?
Shoot.
How could anybody prefer to do that than receive the saving faith of and grace that comes from Christ?
Wow. I'm speechless. Because now I'm all the things I'm going through my head. Can we just do like they do at the school board? Like, you know what? You know, episode 3 or whatever it is, the category 3, category 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can we just get approval to forget those?
Oh, right.
Like, do we have to go through
summary motion?
Yeah, do we have to go through them all?
One by one? Yeah. Right?
Subsection 2, subsection 3, point A and point. Can we just like this say, you know what? Let's just forget all those. Like, I don't want to go through the whole shenanigans with every one of them.
Right?
That would be.
And I love the way he was saying that without the promise of salvation, people get lost in an elusive hope. Like they put their faith in something that's elusive. It's not really true. It's not real. They're thinking again, like that they've got enough good deeds to outweigh the bad ones, or that they have a sense of morality that's, quote, good enough. So it's like people don't give enough seriousness or weight to the fact that God's perfection and righteousness is way beyond anything we could do as human beings. Mm-hmm. We can't make up the standard. God articulates a standard. So we have to decide, do we want the free gift of salvation where Jesus is like, listen, you can't do this without me. It's not going to work. So I came to earth, died on the cross, rose again, came back, conquered death, hell, and the grave. So you don't have to pay this price. And still people are like, I'm good. Thanks. I'll handle it myself.
And then the other side of things that people will sometimes say is that I am so bad, I'm so broken that not right. even God could save me, which is ridiculous.
Another trick of the enemy.
Yeah. And so let's get that out of the way right now. God is great. He created the universe. And then the I just had one more thing I wanted to say before we signed off. And that is, you have an article coming out on possibly Thursday. We have to say possibly because there's so often. There's a little bit of delay, but I think it's an important one. And just stay tuned for Hedia's article. The theme. That sounds like it's a positive thing. Is on suicide.
Right. The crisis of suicide in our country.
Yeah. I can't wait. We had a discussion, which is pretty awesome sometimes when a subject that just somehow comes out of one of these devotionals, which was suicide a few episodes ago, turns into an article. I think that's.
Did they tell you again. I told you a story in the article too?
No.
Yeah. I hope you don't mind.
What? I'm featured in one of your articles?
In this one about suicide, I recount your story.
No, I didn't know that. I haven't read it yet.
I'll let you read it.
But Christian Post, normally on Thursday, somewhere about 10 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, it usually comes out.
Yep.
Something like that. But look for that. And there were so many people interested that it caused the comments to come to life on a subject that's probably close to just about everybody on one level or another. Either somebody in your family struggling with anxiety, depression, and the thoughts of suicide, or somebody you know is struggling. And there's probably people struggling that you don't even know. Somebody you work with, somebody in the cubicle next to you. So it's important to understand some of the concepts and how God can make a difference.
Amen.
In our faith. Anything else, my love? Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
You know what? I don't know if I mentioned this. It's so important that I'm really not sure if I've made this very clear or not, but did you know that our podcast is one of the top 5 recommended podcasts by the Christian Post?
No.
Yes. And it's funny enough, you write for the Christmas Post. Christmas Post. The Christian Post.
What a coinkydink.
I know, it's so weird. But we are one of the top five that they recommend for 2022.
Fantastic.
But you can watch it on or listen to it on any of the podcasting platforms. But the best one to listen to it is the Edify app.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. edifi.app.
I do. I was trying to make my eyes bigger.
I think it is time for a nap. All right, my friends. We love you guys. God bless. Have a great Monday.
Yes.
And don't forget, there's a school board meeting. If you're in the Placentia Obelinda School District area, there's a school board meeting on Wednesday, which is a replacement for. Is that the right way of saying it? It's a.
Yeah.
We're having it because they ended the other one in 4 minutes. It didn't even get past 4 minutes. And the new president said, I'm not listening. I'm not going to have this meeting. And she cut it off. So the next one's Wednesday, 7 p.m. Be there early. There's going to be a big crowd there. It's going to be something else. All right, my friends. We love you guys. God bless.
Bye. Bye.